Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Tuesday, January 27th. I'm Taylor Heckert. The Petersburg Medical Center's home health office has moved locations to the hospital's main campus. It is now in the old Petersburg Public Health Building, right next to the hospital specialty clinic. Ruby Shumway manages home health, which provides at-home medical care for people who need it. She says the department's office was in the Petersburg Indian Association building for the past 2 years. While the PIA offices aren't far away from the medical center, Shumway says the distance made it hard to connect with other departments.
I am most excited about being able to help improve the communication and make sure that it's like a seamless transition for patients, whether it's home health patients that we need to take into the ER, being able to just go upstairs and be like, okay, I'm going to give you a report on this patient. And then on the other side of it, when people are in the hospital and they need to go home on home health, that I can be able to be up there and say, hey, this is what we can provide.
Home health runs the Cedar Social Club, Petersburg's adult day program. That program will stay at the PIA building and will now have more space. Home health has moved a lot in recent years. Shumway says the department used to be at the main hospital, then moved to the hospital's apartments, then the basement of the Elks Lodge nearby, and then the PIA buildings before moving back to the old campus. But this won't be home health's final spot. The medical center building is old and needs frequent repairs. Administrators are working on building a new campus and plan to build a facility dedicated to elder care. While the next hospital building is still early in the design process, CEO Phil Hofstetter says he hopes to have home health housed there. He says it's an important part of medical care in Petersburg.
Absolutely. It's the future, I think.
Petersburg's population is aging, with seniors over 65 making up a quarter of the population. Currently, Shumway says home health has 16 patients under its care, but she anticipates a rising need for the service. 19-year-old Cake resident Jade Williams was killed at a party in 2017. Last Wednesday, more than 8 years later, the main suspect in the case was sentenced for causing her death. KTO's Yvonne Crumry reports.
A Superior Court judge on Wednesday sentenced Isaac Friday to 20 years in prison for manslaughter in connection with the death of Jade Williams. Friday has already spent several years in prison since his 2019 arrest. The judge suspended the remaining years of the sentence. Instead of serving more time in prison, Friday will be on probation for 7 years, and if he violates his probation, he will face the remaining prison time. Jeremy Williams, Jade Williams' father, said at the hearing that he believes the sentence is just a slap on the wrist. He says his family's experience throughout the investigation and criminal proceedings has been traumatizing.
I really don't know what to make of this. It's been a nightmare.
He said Jade had plans to go to cosmetology school in Washington, and that seeing other kids graduate and go to college makes him feel her loss, even 8 years later.
I had one job. I failed. That is to protect her. It eats at me every day.
But Williams said he hopes the sentencing means Jade's family can begin to move forward.
I hope myself, my family, my friends, his family, we could start to heal.
Jade Williams was found dead on August 15, 2017, at a party at her family's house in Cake, according to court documents. Investigators from Juneau didn't reach the scene until the next afternoon. Williams and Friday, who was 24 years old at the time, had been in a relationship, and the case was tried as a domestic violence case. Friday was first indicted in 2019 on 4 counts, 2 murder, 1 manslaughter charge, and a count of criminally negligent homicide. As part of a plea deal, Friday pleaded guilty to a manslaughter charge, to manslaughter, in February. All other charges have since been dropped. Friday's defense attorney, Eric Hedlund, said at the hearing that he believes it's possible that his client didn't kill Williams. He pointed to another man at the party, who Hedlund said admitted that he'd been in a fight with Jade that night and had injuries consistent with an altercation. Hedlund said DNA evidence that came out years after Friday's indictment pointed to that other man. The state never filed charges against that person in connection with Williams' death.
I don't know what happened. I don't think anybody does. I don't think the state does. And that troubles me.
Friday himself took the chance to speak during the sentencing on Wednesday and said he wants to be able to serve his community again.
I'm ready to start giving back instead of taking everything. And I'm ready to help someone else rather than sitting in a room taking.
Before delivering the sentence, Judge Carpinetti said she also thinks the facts of the case remain muddled.
None of us will ever know with a lot of clarity every event that transpired that evening and all of the harm that was done to different people.
Carpinetti said she knows the legal system can't fix the pain William's death has caused.
There is not a sentence in the world that will restore Mr. Williams, his family, Jade's friends, and the community of Cake.
But she said the court's responsibility in a plea agreement is to find an outcome that both parties, the state and the defense, will accept. Friday's sentence, which both parties agreed to, achieves that. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
Alaska has lost about a third of its U.S. Forest Service employees in the past year due to federal staffing cuts led by the now defunct Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Before that, the agency had around 700 Alaska-based staff. This month, the agency told K2O 467 remain. Leading this workforce influx is Jerry Ingersoll, the U.S. Forest Service Acting Regional Forester for Alaska, covering both the Chugach and the Tongass National Forests. He took on the role in November 2025. Ingersoll told K2O's Alex Solomon more about the changes he's leading Alaska's Forest Service staff through, including the impending consolidation of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Tongass Forest Plan revision.
What is your vision for this role?
This is a period of change, and it is my job, I think, to keep the boat upright and the passengers in. There's changes in national policy associated with changes in political leadership. And it's my job as a professional civil servant not only to implement those changes, but also to take care of the people and the communities involved.
Over the summer, USDA Secretary Rollins announced the consolidation and restructuring of the USDA, and the USDA made statements to the press that several Alaska Forest offices will close. What is the timeline for that reorganization? Do you know what's going to happen?
I don't, and that's probably the largest piece of that answer, is that I don't know. The announcement of the Secretary's decision and of moving forward with the reorganization has not yet come. And I'll hear about it when the rest of you do. And I'm in an acting regional forester position because that's part of this interim organization. I'm filling in until this larger reorganization takes place. Many employees left the agency over the last year, more in Alaska, even as a percentage of our organization, than in some other parts of the country. And so we've got people stepping up, covering for their departed colleagues.
Let's talk about the Tongass Forest Plan revision, which has been underway for a while now. Can you just go ahead and share where we are at now with the revision and what the next steps are?
We expect within the next few months, maybe less than that, to publish a notice of intent to begin revision of the Tongass Land Management Plan. As you say, that's been anticipated for a while. So I would anticipate after the notice of intent gets published that we will host public meetings and engagement sessions around the Tongass, around Southeast Alaska this spring. I'd expect that we will engage federally recognized tribal governments in government-to-government consultation. We've already begun that process, but we'll do so even more as we officially launch the revision. And then we are hoping to complete the process and revise the forest plan over the next couple of years.
Some federal comment periods have been expedited. Do you expect a shorter public comment period than has happened in the past for this revision?
You know, I think it's too early to know for sure. We want to fully engage people in the development of their plan for their forest. And we don't want to spend all of our lives on planning and not on doing.
That was Jerry Ingersoll talking with K2O's Alex Solomon. Ingersoll has worked for the Forest Service for 40 years, and he's now the acting regional forester for Alaska. This year's Kuskokwim 300 sled dog race saw a historic finish as Bethel's Pete Kaiser earned his 10th first-place finish in the race, breaking the 9-win record held for years by mushing legend Jeff King. KYUK's Evan Erickson has more.
The scene on the Bethel Riverfront on Sunday morning was electric as family, friends, and fans cheered the hometown hero across the finish line after a little more than 38 hours on the trail.
Kind of just reminiscing about the last 20 years and how we got here. And
in this year's race from Bethel to Antioch and back, Kaiser says victory never felt assured.
I thought, wow, there's just like, seems like there was six or seven different teams that could maybe pull this off if they kept having the run they were having.
Kaiser says his initial expectations of a perfect trail were tempered by challenging snow conditions in the upper section of the race between Kalskag and Antioch. But he says his 8-year-old lead dog, Delmer, who has run the Iditarod and K300 at least half a dozen times since he was a pup, was up to the task.
I haven't noticed any age with him at all, and he's just as good as he ever was.
Second place musher Riley Dyke of Big Lake crossed the K300 finish line a half hour after Kaiser, his second year in a row chasing Kaiser down the final stretch of the trail to Bethel. Dyke says he ran basically the same team that he did in the 2025 race, but that he had to fight harder this time around due to trail conditions upriver.
It was soft, deep kind of swimming in sugar from the moose riding up the trail. And that takes a big toll, stress-wise, on a dog team.
Roughly a half hour after Dyke, Akiak veteran musher Mike Williams Jr. took third place. He says he had been waiting to see how a newly added pair of yearlings and a pair of two-year-olds would handle their first K300.
The dogs poured their hearts out there and they gave me all they had and then some.
It's Williams Jr.'s 15th time running the race. He says he decided at the last minute this year to sign up. The extreme weather and extended power outages in Akiak hampered training. But when he saw 17-year-old Charlie Chingliak of the nearby village of Akiachuk sign up, Williams Jr. says he couldn't resist. Another local talent, Bethel-born and raised musher Jessica Klaika, crossed the finish line just 6 minutes after Williams Jr. to take fourth place. She says snowless trail conditions around Kinnick, where she currently mushes, made training extra challenging this year.
It's like made you wonder if you wanted to be a musher because you were behind them on a four-wheeler like, but this was worth it. We did it.
There hasn't been a female musher in the top five spots in the K300 since 2002. The 2026 race was marked by mushers who got their required hours of rest out of the way early in the race, packing the field for the return trip to Bethel. The race for first took shape quickly among the dozen or so mushers who left Antioch fully rested and blasted through Kalskag Saturday evening. In the final 50-mile push to Bethel, Kaiser did what he does best, holding on to a commanding lead.
Once we're on the home stretch and have a little lead, you know, I think we're hard to beat in that section.
A day before the race, Kaiser said it was still hard to wrap his head around tying mushing legend Jeff King's all-time record in 2025.
You know, as a kid growing up watching the race and then starting to race it myself, I thought Jeff's record was untouchable.
Now Kaiser has accomplished in the span of a decade and a half what took King 25 years. Kaiser's all-time win record has, for the time being, established hometown dominance for the race. His other record of 5 consecutive K300 titles is likely to hold for years to come. Kaiser will earn at least $30,000 from a $200,000 total purse, the largest mid-distance race purse in the world. Second place Dyke stands to earn at least $20,000, and third place Williams Jr. will receive at least $15,000. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
And Coast Alaska's Angela Denning interviewed mushers for that story. For Campus K, I'm Taylor Hackert.